We back. Much like Alexander the Great to Afghanistan, the boys are back.
Boys are back in town.
It's true. We had to cancel yesterday because of the movement in the rapeseed market in commodities. Oils were up 3%. James had to rejigger entire portfolios. Natural gas was moving today. We were just brokerages all day. Sorghum. You know, it's just there's been a lot of commodity action. So it is what it is. But after months, we've returned.
If you're joining us on the audio feed and not on video, Oren is wearing a extremely oversized fleece and sipping an empty teacup.
Well, it's what's
what kind of tea?
You know
what,
I mean?
What kind of tea?
I got a little bit of sauce, left in the dram. There's some
contents. It's more of a juice. I'd say.
I was gonna say, you know, speaking of the commodities markets, you know, I feel like rapeseed needs a rebrand. You know what I mean?
In more ways than one. Not only noted seed oil, but you know,
you know, the things that need a rebrand. Here's one. Chilean sea bass used to be called like teeth fish or some shit, right? They renamed that to Chilean sea bass. Everyone loves it. I think Albania could go for a rebrand as well. It's a really beautiful country on the coast. I think people just don't want to hang out in Albania. But also rapeseed, you know, we'll just throw that in the...
Yo, and Chilean sea bass, not the only fish glow up. You know what I'm saying? Like lobster as a category, just immense glow up. Yep. Yeah, it's... Yeah. Interesting. Albania, I do feel, you know, intrinsically, that's more of a, you know, it's more of a gray market country. But you're saying it's beautiful? Sure.
I mean, sure. Gray's being optimistic, I think. It's like,
I just want to be careful though, because most of our listenership, I still have the Tab Talk rankings that get sent to my email from when this
number
podcast was
three
Tab Talk.
Entrepreneurship podcast in Albania.
Yeah. I was going to say, we always have the strong Albanian contingent. So I want to be careful with ostracizing our.
Yeah, shout out my guys, Yagi, Papa, Oh Grizzly, all Albanians.
Now that we've taken the first 5 minutes to either turn off every new listener, the only people that are still around are the people that like the three of us at this point.
Those are all countries Alexander the Great conquered. You know, like he took the entire world except Afghanistan. So I feel like the theme is continuing.
Well, what's interesting is that one thing Alexander the Great was pretty into was supplements. Weird, esoteric supplements. And one thing that the three of us have all found, other than our joy for distance running, which was, it was inevitable as three white men in their 30s, we had to find, I found golf and running. So I really am leaning I'm peaking as white dude. But we all also have been diving into the supplement space. And we're getting esoteric with them, right? Like over the top, weird stuff. Like my thesis is sort of like, if it's approved by the FDA, I don't want it. You know what I mean? Like that's the weak stuff. You know, we want the good
now,
good stuff.
You're translating the Sanskrit upon which Alexander the Great's Medici wrote his stack. You know what I'm saying? These are all Medici stacks. That's at the level with which we're taking it.
Alexander the Great and Medici are like very different time frames.
Time,
what are we doing here?
As a flat circle is, you know, all right.
Someone actually said that to me in a phone call today. The time was a flat circle, like an actual.
Was it me?
Just said that
because this moment has already happened and will happen again.
No.
All right, so James, what's the stack looking like, Poppy?
So I heard myself doing. You know, I just in December went for a long run. We, you know, all three of us decided to get into running, and I banged on a half marathon without being prepared and fucked up my foot. So that started with me leaning into aggressively into the BPC 157. I want to shout out to all my esoteric, you know, supplement dudes on Twitter.
All my peptide heads.
All my peptide heads. So a little BPC 157. I do a little notable for those, a totally unpaid promo, do a little notable for the focus. I have, D3 and K2 boron. For the bones, you know what I mean? Try to keep the bones strong. I also throw in a little AG1 mix on the daily. And then at night, since I'm off the sleeping pills, my sleeping stack in part of the God stack, the Medici stack, if you will, I throw a magnesium glycinate, I believe, and a little L-theanine. And now that I say it, and it's interesting to think how little I know about any of these things. I think I'm being really healthier. I'm just like, give me these 72 random things. My BPC 157 is like from a sketchy pharmacy in Arizona. It's like a peptide that like, As it should be. Yeah. And yeah, so hopefully I'm healing it myself. What about you guys? What do you guys have in your daily
light stack?
So my research consisted of DMing Noah Ryan, and being like, yo, what are we on now? And he was like, a list of seven things, that half of which you can actually find on the internet. And here we are. And that's, there's only one of the things that I've seen so far that like may be questionable. But this was like one Reddit thread.
All right. So what is it? What's the list?
Like, shout outs to Noah.
You know, boron, red Korean Panax ginseng, Arcara, Sintash tubulosa, nice. Tongkat Ali is like, there's some people on Reddit that don't have anything good to say about that. I mean, was that it? That was pretty much it.
Damn. Light stack.
That was pretty much it. And like, I also am on She Legit every day. And then the Addy, shout out to Addy, but these are like a couple of these are like, I had like, he gave me the list and I had to go track him down, and it was like, yo, what buying from obscure, like
I was gonna say to you, like, yo, but my favorite thing to DM Noah is, I was like, bro, you just gotta post some shit like, three milligrams wolf's mane, you know, like 7 milligrams, like Oxford 77 HWW, like, and just roll down like four of them. And you go have guys out there being like, man, I really got to skin a gecko, you know, like to get this obscure gland.
Yo, reindeer fuzz.
Oh, yeah.
Off antler fuzz is like a thing, like an actual thing.
Deer fuzz, baby. Gang.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to shout out all those dudes. So we have Noah Ryan, right? Funny thing about Noah, back in the day I had Noah blocked on the Twitter for some reason, no idea why. But he's unblocked now. Follow each other everywhere. He's the man. We got New
Happy
Bro,
for you.
Who's the dude who created Notable, who's like the man and giving me tons of free advice, but also Andrew Huberman follows him, so I just assume anything he says is legit. Might be totally
it's a wrap.
Not true. And then we have, I forget the dude, Bro Sidon was his old name. He changed it. He has B4 Health. But shout out to all those dudes.
Known forever as Bro Sidon.
I definitely got mine from a much sketchier source. So the God stack definitely comes from Trend Poppy on Twitter. shout out Trend Poppy, but he tweeted one day and he was like, yo, so if you're not gonna go trend, which I'm not, he was like, all right, you know, this is the natty stack, you know, like that natty the God stack. And so I had to chase it down. We'd be doing the Shilajit, much like Colin, the Tongkat Ali, you know, 100 milligrams. We're doing the L-carnitine tartrate, you know what I'm saying? We gotta get that shred stack, you know, at big doses. I may move to injection soon. Boron. You know, and then all that is while fasted, right? All that's off the zero. And then we're going to hit the pre-workout. We're going to hit the creatine. We're going to have to match that, but only if we're doing carbs. And then at night, we're doing the glycine for sleep. You know what I'm saying? And that's the God stack. You do that shit, like, I mean, I don't want to, like, talk too much about it, but that stack will make you criminally insane. It will make you want to pick up heavy objects and throw them down. It will give you a massive T boost. It will accelerate your metabolism. You'll be sprinting intervals in the back half of your runs.
If you're not watching right now, he is taking off his shirt as he says this.
It was hot. It was hot. I'm not dropping second layer.
So to lean into the builder's build side of this for a second, I do think there's actually a crazy opportunity. And New Bro has done it with Notable. Bro Sidon did it before, which is like all this stuff we're talking about. Like the peptides I get come from like these super sketchy, weird pharmacies and like Swiss pharmacies. And like, it's so branded, so sketch. And don't get me wrong, I think for the bros out here, like us, we're like, yeah, give me that shit I can't buy at GNC because that's the only way it's good. But like, if you want to go mass market, and by the way, the peptide world really is a real world. Like it's a bunch full of stuff that really works. Like tons of science behind it. You need to like brand it and make it look nice. And so like, shout out to Notable, which is branded well, looks well. I think there's actually a huge opportunity for people to take these peptides that like look like they're coming from some, you know, some dude named like, what was it, like Trend Poppy? Some dude who just is like juicing on trend all the time, and shout out to Trend Poppy. But like, and then branding things beautifully. And like selling a direct to consumer, you know, I think.
Yeah, like, well, Colin and I were talking about this too. Why not? Like the point, like what's nice about Notable is our boy Notable, he's done the hard work for us. He's taken Sobroxy, Engstra, Polygala, L-theanine, and Ginkgo and put them in the right mixture together so I don't have to go buy five things and like be splitting a veggie capsule of Tonkat Ali because I don't want to have a heart murmur. Right. And so, and like, and God knows what this is real or not. They were getting off whatever website. They're hunting that down and doing the blend. And I do think that like, there's only a certain threshold of dudes that are even going to go hunt down seven things and then actually take them all in the right doses. If we can just get people just, you know, God stacking a pill, Medici stacking a pill, which, you know, is what Newt Bro is doing. I believe that's also what our boy Robert Oliver, genius CEO, is doing. There's a handful of people. I think it's a big market.
I
don't know why.
Please, Congo.
I don't know why. I don't know why Noah, like Noah sent me this rundown. It was hard to find. I spent money. I don't know why he's not just bottling that up or capsuling that up.
I think that Substack money too easy, you know? Once you start getting that taste of that Substack money, you start going like, oh, but then I have to do something. You know what I'm saying? Just saying, who knows? Noah, correct us if we're wrong. Noah's going to come on the pod. We're going to have the Noah James showdown. They're going push up for push up on here. Over the block.
I'm a huge, you know? Dude, Noah's ripped. Noah's so tan. He's definitely taking whatever peptide makes you tan and melanotan. He's ripped. he's doing it.
It's Sun 7501. It's tropical anabolism 011.
If one of our listeners who can put this stuff together wants to partner with the Builders Build Crew, you know, we never launched the journals, never launched any of the, you know, the ruler, you know, we never launched any of this stuff, but maybe the God Stack. You know, if a contract manufacturer was to come along, I will very happily push the God Stack onto the list.
We'll launch the God Stack right now. I'm telling you, one Instagram video is it's a fucking wrap. I'm just saying.
It's all neat.
Just say unveiling the God Stack, and then all the light starts to come.
I want to say, speaking of, so we you know, when this pod last went, we all had smaller audiences. I mean, Colin's blown up on IG and Oren is really blown up on IG. It'd be really interesting to see, you know, email lists are bigger. I mean, I think I had 50,000 or 40,000 Twitter followers. I have 80,000 now, right? Like, it's really interesting to see. It'll be interesting to see, like, if this has any more traction because aggregate-wise now we have over 500,000 followers, right?
I got 500,000 aggregate. Let's go. Yeah. Yeah. So I think,
there we go. So
I think it's like going to be less. It's going to be worse. It's going to go worse. We're going to have less.
It will not be as good this time.
I'm just saying, I worked really hard to cultivate this 40% female audience, and they're not crossing over to this bullshit. I'm telling you right now.
Not at all. Not at all. Yo, the elephant in the room, James, like before we had Twitters, which is a little bit better than useless. Now we have video platforms, which is extremely useful. So I think if the pod was any good, the answer would be yes. Sadly,
agreed.
Here we are. Agreed. Look at the topic list and tell me if you think this can get traction.
That's all right. I do think it's, you know, it's like coming off the bench, you know, for first long. We're a little rusty. It's like me with my running. You know, like we're having a, for all the listeners, we're all having a group chat through FaceTime audio so that we don't speak over each other, but then recording through our computers. So we got to get the workflow back cracking down again. I do think it becomes worth it. You know, for me as the dirty stepchild of short form video content in the room that doesn't ever show up or do anything. I think that in general, like if this became compelling and good, it creates lots of good other short form to post around. But I think as we go down this list of stuff that no one's gonna be interested in, the real topic that I feel is interesting is Oren meets Epstein. And I think we should crack open classic. That can of worms.
I'll paint a picture for y'all. You know what I'm saying? I'm out with the family, a few other close families. We're on catamaran, British Virgin Islands, beautiful, you know, 82-foot, the lagoon, Yeah, I mean, we're just living life as we should, but we cruise by beautiful island. We're going island to island, Benissimo. Chefs whipping up fresh fruit in the mornings. You know what I'm saying? Steaks at night. Gorgeous lifestyle. But we whip by an island. They're like, oh man, what's that island? And lo and behold, Epstein's Island. Who knew? Yeah, and my wife, as one does, says we should go. Yeah, but they won't let you on there because a resort has purchased Epstein's Island, which I think was an interesting move. And probably what I want to talk about here is, do you think that so they bought the whole thing, and they plan to put a resort on it? They are not leaning into it being Epstein's Island, which is my new response. It was like, cool, people will just go there just to be like, let's go to Epstein's fucking island. This is dark, you know. Yeah. And it's also not. I was like, okay, cool. You could theme it like a sex themed. Like you could go a little, you know, a little off the beaten path. And it's not that either. Do you think they're going to be able to successfully rebrand that without always being, oh, that resort that's on Epstein's Island?
I mean, what like islands are a little bit dime a dozen, right? Like, I just don't get why you would do that. That island either has baggage.
I don't think islands are dime a dozen that have power, sewage, and a sex dungeon. Three sex dungeons.
This is how we get
allegedly
canceled.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, that's the word of how we get canceled, is when you add in allegedly, which implies that you might not believe. I mean, I didn't have, you know, people are always anti, you know, these conspiracy theories, and the great, not the great, sorry, this will get us canceled, but you know, Alex Jones was talking about a global cabal of sex trafficking rings, right? And no one believed him. And I will say, no, you know, every once in a while something is real. And I did not have it on my bingo card that there actually was a global cabal of super elite people doing horrific, horrific shit. But there you go. There it was. So maybe
some once it all came out, though, it was like Stephen Hawking and, you know, like, damn.
That was wild. Just some scientists. Stephen Hawking one was wild. But I don't kink shame. And so the Stephen Hawking one, to be honest with you, like there was some horrific stuff happening on the island, but the Stephen Hawking one was just a kink. You know what I mean? It felt like he was just into little people doing math.
I didn't click a single headline on, like, I didn't even open up anything. They have like details about what.
Yeah. So they have all the logs and stuff.
Stephen Hawking's kink.
The only interesting one was Stephen Hawking. It was like, here's this list unveiling the Epstein list. And it was like, you know, all the people have been like, it's going to be this person, that person. And it's just the only famous person is like Stephen Hawking. And that's where all the memes came out of him in the wheelchairs and shit.
Little people, not even kidding you, Stephen Hawking's kink was having little people, like women who are little people, doing math on chalkboards that they couldn't reach.
You guys are fucked up. That shit is not funny at all. It's fucking like, dark, man.
And when I first read it, I thought that's almost worse. Totally fake. You know, damn. But he wanted to watch them do like complex math equations to it on chalkboard that they couldn't reach, which is the weirdest. I mean, I don't kink shame, like, to each their own, but like that seemed like a wild one. But moving on from this list, because I'm positive.
No, one step back. I want to be like, James, would it be fair to say you have a kink? There'd be little people attempting to do complex M&A at a level with which they can't attain.
100%. But the thing is, I'm just open to anything. You know, my kink is that if it gets them, I'm a people pleaser, right? So my kink is if it gets them off, it gets me off. So if they're into it, I am, you know? That's how I feel about it. Probably some trauma there. But I think that this is a great transition into what was another big headline that actually was much more relevant to us and our listenership than Epstein, was that Russell Brunson, right? Allegedly. Russell Brunson blacklisted from child residence. Allegedly. The goat. Sorry. Orin is so diehard Russell Brunson fan that the moment someone says
Orin is pissed right now.
Allegedly.
You guys look, Russell Brunson didn't just change one life on this pod, changed four. Changed the life of our unborn children. That man with his funnels, I'm just saying. And we should be taking this alleged story very seriously.
Yo, Yo, first of all, James, the headline did not say child wrestling. I wrote that.
I'm reading the cue card. Listen.
Okay.
Founder of ClickFunnels punches boy. I think, is that a better headline?
Yeah. No, I think so. The backstory, I think they're eighth graders. His kid is like an eighth grader. He's a big wrestling guy, as lots of Mormons are. Typical. I don't know if that's, So this actually happened in Portland. So like his kid is on a mat. There's a video of it. First of all, I don't know if you guys seen the video. He definitely punches the shit out of this kid in the face, but his kid's on the mat. I think getting
most
choked,
Portland
choked out,
teens may and adults may or may not deserve.
Yeah. To be very fair, but
Colin,
eighth graders,
you shared this with
and
us.
He like panicked and like punched the kid a couple times while the kid is like engaged in wrestling. He's the coach.
I mean, that's a huge, I mean, there's two fathers, right? Can you imagine? Is there a situation, you know, let's just imagine, and not Kingston, right? But young Cece, she's getting herself into the wrestling game. She's losing a little bit. Cause you know, I see Kingston more as a bird of song and Cece more of a bird of prey. You know what I mean? For sure.
Fair.
And do you see, Colin, do you see yourself jumping in and what, like, can you imagine punching another child in the face?
I mean, wrestling scenario, I would probably boot him in the ribs.
Okay.
But I think the caveat here is
podcaster,
coach
and golf influencer kicks girl in ribs. I'm just picturing, sorry, I'm spelling out the headline.
Yeah, that does not have a ring to it. But I think the weird thing is he's the coach, right? So he's basically hovering this entire, like he's right there this entire time and then just goes in for the kill after being in the mix the entire time. Like that's crazy. And you gotta have enough awareness.
It was said
that
this guy had done a couple like illegal moves in a row or something was the alleged, and he was just, fed up. It wasn't being stopped, but that is wild. And I do wonder, is this going to have any impact? Is the cost of the ClickFunnels plaque going to go up? Are we going to be paying $5.99 instead of $5.95 now to be able to receive the plaque? Or
I hope not. I just earned one. So I can't wait to put a giant ClickFunnels plaque down my head. You know what I think is so funny about the ClickFunnels plaque is that to me, it's almost like a counter indicator. Like if you're like super hyped and flexing that you did $1 million top line, their business, and not even in like a truncated amount of time, just in the total length of time. Don't get me wrong, I still want one because I think it'd just be fun. Like, it doesn't say to me that you're crushing it. It's one of the things that really only impresses people that are not really running businesses, you know? Because it's not a huge,
yeah, but I think,
huge
number. I mean, to be fair, I think that's born out of like people with like a massage studio that like don't know
the original ClickFunnels demographic.
Customers. Yeah, like. The smallest.
Remember those guys in the first
business.
Book? It would just be like a really earnest dude. just being like, yeah. I'll tell people how to throw a tennis ball. And you're like, well, you don't even need to throw tennis balls.
Fair enough. Well, I think that's actually, you know, the modern version of Russell Brunson brings us to our next point, which is Hormozy, which who's the Gen Z Russell Brunson, right? Like Hormozy is Gen Z's. I think that's a fair take on it, right?
Well, they refer to him as Gen Z Brunzy, but yeah, I get
Gen Z Brunzy. But so, you know, for forever, Hormozy pitched everyone, and you're all fucking suckers if you ever believed it when he was like, I got nothing to fucking sell you. He was just playing the long game, and he has a couple offerings now I've seen come out. One that's like $3,000 is for this conference in Vegas if you're SME, and like they teach you how to build funnels for customer acquisition. And then B is that he bought Sam Ovens, another sort of classic info product guy, consultant.com, School, that software that Sam Ovens, which is a community software. And I keep making the same deadbeat joke, but which is just that, like, you know, for the past 2 years, every DM I've gotten is like, oh, you got a great business. Can I send you some more leads? Or like, your edits are fine, but I could really improve them. And that from here on out, Hormozy is going to be telling everyone that they need to be pushing communities on people, and School has like a 40% like affiliate commission, and that every DM we're going to get is going to be like, do you have a community yet? Like, you should build one on School, you know? And that's the direction that it's all going, for sure.
I mean,
with that said, bullish on communities.
And I mean, I think that's a space that's like just ripe for like a really good solution, right? There are so many perfectly fine solutions out there. I haven't used School, but I mean, all of us now are doing similar things with like Slacks and, you know, what's the one you use, James? Circle or whatever?
So I was using Circle. We switched over to School for this last cohort, actually.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much, so many okay options. And like there are several things about Slack that's not it. I mean, we Orin and I may inevitably be School customers with Cut 30.
I mean, I actually think that the major opportunity, and I actually like Circle the most of all of them, but the major opportunity is everyone that we know, and us included, is obviously like leaning into our niche of audience, and that's our moat, and then building communities around that. I think there's a really interesting opportunity to build, and I didn't come up with this, but build these niche communities for like B2B services businesses, right? So like how do you say, like you brought up like massage studios before, right? Like someone that's doing $1 million a year top line to someone, you know, in the online marketing space, when you go for people with no money, when you go to like BizOp or MMO, make money online, you're normally targeting people that are new into the industry. I'm not saying that makes the products are good or bad, but all of a sudden paying $500 a month for something feels expensive, right? Or it can feel expensive to someone. But if you're approaching a business, right? And you know, let's say you're going to like accountants, CPAs, you know, they're doing $2 million a year, which by the way, I don't think is a huge amount of money for a CPA firm. And saying like, hey, we run a community just for CPAs. It's $500 a month. We're capping it at 100 people so that we can put each of you, like you guys do with Cut 30, like put each of you guys into pods so you can understand, help each other, flow each other business. We're going to have people come and talk about marketing for your CPA firm. We're going to have people come and talk about, you know, how to build a website for your CPA firm. We're going to have people come and talk about whatever, then $500 a month seems completely reasonable as a pricing structure. And you all of a sudden can build this business doing 50 and at $500 a month, that's a $6,000 a year, ticket per customer. You can just go the cold email and cold DM route. Like you don't need to have some massive audience. If you built the right funnel and right product, you could definitely go find 5,000 CPAs on LinkedIn and go bang each one of them with a cold email and cold DM. And over time get, you know, 100 of them into a community at $500 a month. Like that's not insane numbers at all. And now all of a sudden you have a business doing $600,000 a year in ARR that becomes really compelling to maybe a PE firm that's looking to buy CPA firms, right? Like there's a gentleman I was talking to, Todd, who has a company called Broadloom. Broadloom, and this is fucking genius. I love this. They basically built like the Wix for flooring companies. But all they do is they build like HubSpot and Wix for flooring companies. I.e., they build a front end.
Wow.
Like if you are a local flooring business, they build you can build a front end website and an entire like CRM and lead management system, right? And they just raised like $50 million in their B for this because, you know, each flooring company is paying them an average of like $12,000 a month and they have like 800 flooring companies in it or something, right? And so my point is, I think that in the community space, you can build fun and cool little interesting businesses like that, that you don't require you to be like a phenomenal marketer. You just have to understand the industry and the space. Anyway, that was a rant, but I think it's interesting.
Yo, so that's like taking it like several steps further than just like Jobber, right? Jobber being like invoicing for like service businesses. And just like going way further than that into like specifically HVAC. That's really interesting because like if you're doing that as a SaaS, I would imagine like 90% of the software stack that you're selling is like open source stuff that you go and build on and modify around the niche.
And these are not hyper, to go with your point here, they're not hyper complex on the back end, right? Like these, you know, these sort of brick and mortar services industries, for example, like they sell a service, right? And it's a simple CRM, right? Obviously, it can become more complex at scale, but like that website is pretty static. It's not overall dynamic on the front end, right? It does, your moat is like an understanding of the industry. You know how to speak to these people. You know what's important to them. But I do think that there's, as the rise of communities come and sort of that obviously goes much deeper, you know, there's a million like $25,000 to $50,000 a month in MRR, like community for, you know, for like service communities to build for services businesses that could be crushed with cold email and cold DM outreach 100% because it just becomes reasonable to do so at that price.
How much did you say that flooring one raised?
If you give me like a second,
what were some of the right numbers now around the flooring?
I'll pull it up right now. Hold on. And by the way, I've been looking into buying because I have a friend who makes a ton of money with doing payment processing. And you can buy books at payment processors, right? All payment processors are the same, essentially, right? Anyone can beat Stripe. Yeah. Anyone can, you know, they're all the same. They're all selling the same commoditized payment processing. And another thing they did is they plugged in payment processing. So they own their own payment processor as well. So they're like going through like $100 million in they're taking all the payment processing from the flooring companies as well. So it's like over $100 million a year they're processing, and they're taking an extra, like, nothing crazy, but like an extra like 0.8% on that. So it's like an extra $800,000. It's like these venture backed companies throwing all their extra money into T-bills, right? Like, just like, why would you not? You know, I've raised $100 million and $80 million of it's going to sit on the side quietly. Why don't I throw in their T-bills at 5.5%? You know, we'll make fucking $4 million this year. Just have the money sitting there. Let me pull up the,
we know somebody building, this for DJs.
There you go.
And it's the same thing. There's like the SaaS component, but then it's like, really, once you have the payments happening through the platform, now you're talking.
By the way, I just want to, the reason this is super interesting to me, and I think all three of us can relate to this. I love things that like seem weird and niche and some people think are boring that are just like these amazing businesses. So like, just for context, the article that I found, the website I found this article on, for so you guys can see, is called floortrendsandinstallation.com. So there's like an entire like content site about the flooring industry, right? It's huge. And so it says, breaking flooring news, right? Broadloom relaunches brand. When I first spoke to the guys, they just had a big content site and were trying to figure out how to monetize it better. And so they turned.
And this is what they did?
Site. Yeah. Broadloom relaunches brand, announces $60 million growth equity investment. So they've ended up, the firm took on previously undisclosed $60 million from PSG. I think they raised and it total.
Good for them.
I mean, the CEO is the man. He's smart. He's clever. He's very nice. So in total, they've raised $90 million. And again, I don't know, jeez, you know, let's see. Recently launched in-store experience that connects retailers' websites with their ERP and CRM. Anyway, we won't go too deep into that now, but it's a clever little business. And what can you do that for other industries? Quite possibly, you know?
Every single one, I would imagine. It doesn't sound like that little of a business either.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe not so little, but right. Anyway, so that's a little interesting business. Not little, but there's an interesting business right there, and tons of communities, and we're gonna see, I think, more and more pop up. You know, in that $500 to $1,000, you know, and the value, as you guys know from running a community, I've run a community now over time, is that like it's the values of the community and the one to many ability, right? So you could be charging. If you did CPA firms that were all doing over $10 million a year, in my example, you could probably charge $1,500 a month, $2,000 a month, and limit it to right. 100 of the best ones. And you'd still be in a phenomenal setup.
The hustle dude, Sam Parr, he has that, I guess, less niche than what we're talking about, but his new thing is the like Hampton founder community shtick. Yeah.
Yeah, Hampton. I mean, by the way, that's just YPO. I don't know if you guys know about YPO, yeah, totally. Young Presidents. You know, I that's
guess it's YPO. not nearly as niche. Yeah.
Yeah, and YPO probably does. I mean, it's like $20,000 a year or something, right? It's like a real numbers. But I guess that's the end of some alpha there. I mean, what else do we have on here? I have jogathon because we did talk about doing a jogathon since all three of us love running so much. As opposed to, we know some other players, influencers / entrepreneurs in the internet space doing golfing tournaments. That's cool if you're into that. I mean, I love golf and Colin really loves golf, but like I mean, obviously if a brand wanted to come and sponsor a jogathon, a builder to build jogathon, that'd be
conceptually
cool.
A jogathon is the funniest fucking idea anyone's had in a long time, like an influencer jogathon.
Also, what charity would we support? What's that guy who had the offers that they got that he got sued for scamming? Taylor,
oh, you know what I'm talking about? Taylor Welch.
Yeah, exactly. Can we raise money
about how I didn't actually do it? Yeah,
exactly. Well, can we do the jogathon to help fund him have a better excuse?
Yeah, he did. He got fined $16 million by the FTC.
God.
Yeah, yeah. We could raise an FTC fund for the community. You know what I'm saying? As more of them go down, once Grant Cardone goes, we got some set aside for you, brother. You know, it's we ready to go.
Didn't Alex make a prediction that Grant Cardone's gonna get arrested this year or something? That was one of Alex Friedman's predictions.
Which was hot. She was like, "I have no evidence. I have nothing to put out there, but I'm just gonna make this call right here. It just feels right." Yeah, and she's not wrong.
I can see that too. I was in Scottsdale last weekend, and just like we're driving down the freeway, I look over and I see like Cardone Industries on the side of a building, and I was like, "Oh my god, we're in the belly of the beast!" Like,
Once we hit Arizona, you're like, "Wait, GoDaddy, Cardone University? My god, I'm in scam hell!" Yeah.
But you got to be careful. You got to be careful because noted Scientologist. He's pretty plugged in. He's top up
there. Oh yeah, he's ready
like
to go.
He's like a huge Scientologist. You know.
That's what I was afraid of. You. I did that. I did a video dissing Casper mattresses lightly earlier, and I was like, "That's another one where, like, just like the Scientologist, the mattress mafia will come for you. Like, they'll shut down anyone who like does a bad review. They'll show up at your house." Yeah, you guys, we're starting to get just too big for the britches. We got to watch our backs out here.
Definitely. I mean, I heard Tate's involved with the mattress mafia. I heard the Tate brothers.
Did you see someone who is it that's in the Tate? They're in the Tate like abandoned program flow and are sharing the screenshots where it's like, "It's been 2 weeks since you logged in. You missed our AI and prosperity workshop. And what have you done with yourself? Nothing." What steps have you made toward achieving your goals? Nothing. It's on Twitter. Yeah. I don't know. I forget who it was. I was like, "Oh yeah, let's go." Someone's like, "Man, I just, you know."
Yo, Twitter's kind of popping back right now. Yeah. X, whatever we call it.
X is having, I'm getting some weird, but I think good signs. I'm getting pushed some content that I've never seen before. So I actually noticed this is like some alpha from X in the past couple of days. Past 2 days, I've been seeing people's communities. Cause you know, you can have like groups or communities on X now, right? Like it comes up with a little star next to it and it's shoved into my feed. And so I think they're at least again, making meaningful changes, whether they're going to be good or not, who fucking knows. But there are trying to make changes to the algo. So fingers crossed. I mean, I've thought about, I told you guys this before, we were looking at the pricing for, you know, I pay for Twitter Premium or whatever, Blue, for $10 a month or whatever. But they have the Twitter Gold for $1,000 a month. I mean, this just becomes the weirdest like pass back for P&L on the planet. Like for $1,000 a month, you can get Twitter Gold and they'll also give you $1,000 in ad credits to spend for each month.
It's pretty beautiful.
It's clever. Like, I would bet from an accounting perspective, you get, it's a, like a write down the cost of giving away the ad credits and you get to book the revenue as revenue, right? Like you might get some double magic in there. I don't know.
And it pumps up just like your metrics around the ad platform, right? Like that, those are dollars being spent on ads.
Sure.
Right? Even though they're credits back or whatever the hell.
100%.
How much do they give you back on the gold check?
Everything.
100%.
1,000 per month, though. Damn. It's fucking crazy, man.
But yo, in terms of ad spend, 1,000 per month is not much.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, if you guys were cranking on any paid for Cut 30, you spend $1,000 a month.
We did some Twitter paid on the last one, which went pretty well, right? Colin, what was like the CPM stuff on that, or the CPCs on that?
I mean, we directly converted two sales off of it, and I think it was $350.
What was the contribution margin? Just down.
Well, it is an info product, brother. So
there's COGS, there's the Notion subscription.
Yeah.
There's the free Slack. Yeah. There's Alex's beanie.
I ran some Twitter paid. I spent like $1,000. We were on this webinar for NanoFlip's cohort, and I actually did it sort of like down and dirty style, which was just, I just ran, my audience ran a tweet about the webinar. I said, "Comment below and I will DM you the webinar link." And I just did it manually, like sort of the way ManyChat can run for Instagram, but that doesn't work, that doesn't exist for X. And I think we ended up getting Webby's sub signups for like the back of the envelope math that I ran, it was like $8 a pop, which is like actually pretty industry standard for a webinar, like show up.
Yeah. I'd be interested to run.
So yeah.
Yeah. I'd be interested to run. It's interesting. I think like the ad wise, like, I don't know, I still get like 10, 20 subs a day off Twitter. It's like nothing compared to the Instagram flow, but like it's respectable for not doing much.
That's nutty. I get like 2 subs a day on Twitter. Which I'm always like, I mean, it's just, I mean, I've taken away all the
And with the cut 30 tweets, like we've gotten thousands of people in that cut 30 flow off of some of these tweets between all of us too. Just in the last, since we started doing the last like maybe 45 days, it's thousands just off the CTAs on those videos, which is, that's been nuts to me. Like that directly converts super fucking well. I can see why the client ascension guys run their flow the way that they do, right? Where they're all tweeting about it. They're all hitting in the hooks and they promote the good ones into tweets. Like I can see that just fucking running all day with an offer that's like 12 grand or whatever theirs is.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I just don't know. I just can't get my conversion tracking to work with Twitter correctly. Like I just like, at one point, when I was doing clicks, it was like driving me like, a penny a fucking click and like no fucking conversions after fucking 300 clicks. And I was like, this is bullshit. The ad platform is still screwed up in some regard, but people are making it work for sure.
Oh man. It makes me want to complain about Google Analytics and how far we've fallen, but I won't. What I was going to say is I saw a Cheech and Chong hemp-based THC gummy ad on Twitter. And I said, enough is enough. And I'm making internet weed. We're going to make like a few units of internet weed of gummies and pre-roll packs and going to run Twitter ads and see if I can sell internet weed. So I'm excited about that.
I think you can. I think, and by the way, they're spending money. I mean, money, right? Like, you absolutely can.
I was like, this is stupid. I'm going to try it. And
that's the best way, I think, of proof that something is working is just like, how many of their ads do I see? And do I see it all the time? So the two ads I see the most in my feed on Twitter are the Cheech and Chong fucking gummies are just cranking. Like their spend must be nutty. The other one I see all the time is Gundry MD. And the reason I think Gundry MD is really interesting is like, that is one of the most successful direct response diet brands on the world in the world. Like don't you never find the GNC? Gundry MD. They're owned by Gundry, G-U-N-D-R-Y, M-D. Dr. Gundry is his name. And they're owned by Golden Hippo, Craig Clemens. It's all direct response. They probably do $100 million a year in like weight loss pills. And those dudes are not spending that money unless it's making them money. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm trying to say. Like that's the type of people that they are. So in the same way that like, you know, ad library on Facebook or anything, like if it's been around for a while, it's definitely working. So I would love to see Colin slinging some fucking weed on the interwebs. You know what I mean?
Might as well.
I'm ready.
We shall see.
All right. Well, the last thing I have on our notes list as we come up on an hour was just the last second thing I threw in there. Cause I think we're all big fans of Kevin, and Kevin is like getting me to teeter on the edge of like a expensive nerd hobby, which is mechanical keyboards. And Kevin posted
what is the Shopify keyboard?
I just think it's interesting, and I'm sure you guys could talk about this more than me, but when brands find like a really cool, interesting product that is like merch for them to sell, and like when you can find the right one that aligns, because I think brands like really most swag is fucking trash, right? Like everyone uses the exact same swag and they can't find anything that people would want to buy. You know, we started off this pod by joking around saying that, you know, give me a contract manufacturer and we'll sling the God stack. You know, like I don't know what people would buy from us, but I do think a mechanical keyboard from Shopify is like this perfect weird niche product in which they know that they're, or like it's like Elon doing it with like the fucking flamethrowers and tequila and shit. You know, when you hit it right.
Yeah, but I guess with the Shopify one, I feel like it's not quite that because it's a collab. You know, just like it's a Keychron.
Oh, is it?
So it's really just it's just a branded. Which is still sick. Like it's like they did a really good job with it and it looks great and it does the other, but like it's just like that makes sense with that platform. Just find something in their niche and then collaborate with someone who already does it well.
Who makes it? I'm like Keychron. On the page and I don't see Keychron.
Yeah, on that page and you go down to like the bottom, they have like a whole section about how it's a collab with Keychron.
Yep.
Well, it, I mean, that makes sick, it even though. Easier then, right? But it's cool. I just thought it was like a cool,
yeah, cool it, thing. And then, I mean, that's a good one of all the ones to have. Like, you're completely right. Like, that doing like some swag that's actually like interesting and good. And then desktop accessories is like the new frontier, right? Everyone's looking at mechanical keyboards. Everyone's looking at like what you can put on desk, because obviously like apparel is done to death.
And
$99 is not that crazy for a mechanical keyboard. They can get expensive.
I have that exact one. You know? I have that exact one, but not in the branded Shopify one. I just find it really hard to type on, personally. But like, everyone's kind of got a different. But yeah, it's a super reasonable. You know, I think we're gonna see trackpads next. You know.
Yo, I'm like a fan of brand merch. I'd probably kill myself before I had a Shopify keyboard.
And there's an awful lot of people that actually went out there and bought one. Yeah. Well, that's some of the things I'm seeing. We're seeing that now too with the brand item. Like, I don't know, but we're fans of brand merch, but like, what have you bought? Like, I'm fans of making videos about the concept that get views, but like, there's very little besides. The only thing I consider buying was the Campari Percival, which like looked really good. But like, there's none of it that's actually purchased, you know? What if you didn't buy it? You didn't buy a 7-Eleven bowling shirt.
Yeah. I mean,
some Rolex tennis balls, which I thought looked really cool. Like, and I thought that people, like, you would never use them, right? You would never be playing with your Rolex tennis balls. But like, they sort of just like had.
Oh, yeah, it's cool, stuff. But would you buy them, right? Like, I just think that's where the threshold goes, is there's just like, cool. It's like a thing for consumers. And it's not really cool.
Yeah. But you would buy the God Stack.
Like, is it cool? Is it cool? Yeah.
You know, I will say I got a can of compressed air from Air, which is actually mad useful, just because like there's a lot of things you need to clean with that.
That is useful.
And that's the kind of thing where like,
it's super useful.
I got it as a freebie, but I would potentially buy it if I need like a can of pressed air and it had like, you know, but I was like, well, the only good, it had some utility.
You know what this makes me think about? This makes me want to have next pod, which will be a little bit more structured. I think something fun we can talk about. Maybe talk about the fall, how Mischief has fallen off a little bit. Remember how hot we were on Mischief? Like,
a lot of
Mischief
it.
Mischief was
a lot of it.
The dope. Like, a lot of that shit was so dope a year and a half ago. And now it's become sort of like,
that's just victim of the own success. We can hit it fully on the next pod. But like, once you have something go up to the size of Big Red Boots and then go down to that size, like, it's a, there's only so far your business is forever tied to being corny, which I don't think they expected that to go that viral. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Chasing cool is, you know, it's a weird game. Well, anyway,
I think I mentioned in the video, once you bring mimes into your campaigns, I feel like everything's downhill. Like, once they had a mime, it's a wrap.
That's a signal. That's a top signal.
All right.
Yo, I'm on their website right now. It's
weak, right?
Very
it's
different from the last time I was here.
Let's make some.
It's like a whole store of their shit. Yeah. Sorry.
All right, cool. We did it. We're back. We'll be doing this every 5 to 7 months going forward. Y'all can check on the feed. James says you can watch the Alexander the Great doc on Netflix.
Wait, real quick. You know, we used to sign off with Stay Rich Money Twitter. RIP to Money Twitter. A, Twitter doesn't exist anymore. Money Twitter is for sure don't exist no more. And you guys are really more IG boys. You know what I mean? So like, and so like.
Yeah, but the IG fan base ain't coming to listen. So I don't know what we're going to say, you know, just. Stay rich, the few of you remaining.
Yeah, nobody. Yeah. The 78 people, and especially the 4 that tweeted us about it.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're here. I had a good time.